This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 30th and final episode of the current season of the Neil Reynolds Podcast. And this time out, we're breaking new ground. For our regular listeners, you'll be used to me speaking with former and current players. I've sat down with general managers and head coaches. And again, this season, we featured media members and NFL analysts. These have included Super Bowl winners, leading voices in the media from the US and the UK, Hall of Famers, great stories all being told. And now we have an NFL owner. Joining me this week is Mark Wilf from the Minnesota Vikings. And as ever, this is a conversation that delivers another perspective into life in the NFL and what it takes to survive right at the very top. Now, before we get into it, I just want to remind you all that this episode is currently streaming on NFL Game Pass, who have supported us all season long. So we want to send our thanks to everyone at the team there and say it's been a real thrill to have them on board this season. All 30 episodes from season 2 of the Neil Reynolds Podcast are available to watch right now. So if you'd prefer to see the varying backdrops of my kitchen and my home studio, then head over to NFLGamePass.com now. So, for one last time in the 2021 season, let's get into the podcast. Mark, thank you for joining me on the Neil Reynolds Podcast. Just completed a 17th season as owner of the Minnesota Vikings, part of that ownership group there. How excited have you been with the growth of the team? Obviously, building new stadium, new practice facility.
Well, I can tell you we've been very excited about the entire process. We came in. We were at the bottom of the league on all the business metrics. The team was in the middle of the pack as far as the performance, but we're really proud of what we've built in these past 17 years. We've had a real connection with our fans. We built what we feel is the finest stadium in the NFL in the world, US Bank Stadium. We built an incredible practice facility, TCO Performance Center in Eagan, which is a suburb of Minneapolis and St. Paul. So all of these efforts took a lot of work, a lot of manpower, and we've come a long way as a franchise and as a league, and we're really proud of the fact that we've been able to be stewards of that effort.
How proud were you to showcase that stadium, Super Bowl 52? Now, I guess difficult because you were so close to being in it, and that's obviously was probably hanging in the back of your mind the whole time, how close the Vikings were to being in that game. But how special a moment was that to have this incredible stadium? I still look back fondly on that that Super Bowl. I was hosting from the end zone for Sky Sports. It was a fantastic backdrop to a great game. How special was that in the period you've been owning the Vikings?
It was a special moment, definitely a highlight. Like you said, it was a little bittersweet because we had lost in the championship game 2 weeks earlier. But the fact of the matter is we're very proud, like I said, of the incredible facility we built, the way the community came together, the grassroots fan support, the business community. And they really rolled out an incredible hospitality. It was a great event, a great way to show off the cities and the state of Minnesota. And it was really a great experience, and one I think everyone in Minnesota has fond memories of. I think people that all went to the event or just went to go be around what is the incredible Super Bowl week, came away saying Minnesota was a great place and hospitality was outstanding.
Mark, I'll level with you. I really enjoyed it, apart from when Sky got me to zip wire across that river, which was frozen.
God bless you. I took a look at that river and I said, it takes a special mindset, let's put it that way, to zip line over a sub-zero river. But you did it. Congratulations.
Yeah. So this podcast, it kind of celebrates lives in football, general managers, head coaches, players. So many players take great journeys. So I just want to get a little bit on the football background. When obviously you're a businessman and you see the Minnesota Vikings, let's go rewind 17 seasons, 17 years. You see, I'm trying to get, was it a business attraction or has football always been kind of pulling at your heart? Are you a football fan at heart?
I'm a football fan at heart. My brother is, my entire family. As you may know, we're the children of immigrants. Our parents were Holocaust survivors. And when they came to the United States, they wanted us to be part of everything great about America. And there's nothing more American than American football. And we love the fact that it's now growing internationally. But yes, we were fans. We grew up as New York Giants fans, as you might know. And we evolved very quickly in 2005 when we were fortunate enough to have a ability to purchase the Minnesota Vikings.
This, I promise you, this is not a softball. People are going to listen to this and say he's throwing up a softball. But I've been very fortunate to work with the Vikings a lot. So I went on tour in 2013 with Harrison Smith, Kyle Rudolph, John Sullivan. I worked with all your PR people, your film production guys, Alan and all that group. I've been on tour with Eric Kendricks, Anthony Barr. I know Rick Spielman very well. Obviously, he's just left the team. But how important is culture? Because that's a lot of good people that I just mentioned there. I mean, I've been exposed to a lot of NFL teams. There are a lot of good people on the Minnesota Vikings. I know that sounds like a softball, but people who are listening and watching, you got to believe me, it's true. How important has culture been to you?
Very important. And we are very proud of the people that have worked for the Vikings, are working for the Vikings, and will work for the Vikings. You know, we try as best we can in a corporate and business culture to create a sense of family. We as ownership hopefully convey to our entire team that we do care about them. And like you say, we look for good people. You know, people come and go in this league. That's part of the business. But you do meet great people along the way in sports generally, in the NFL and in the Vikings in particular. You as part of the media and myself as part of ownership. It's just a great ride all around. I think any fan that's been around all sports, you meet great people, whether you're a fan in the media or ownership. Just being around sports is a fun thing. It brings people and communities together, and that's what we love about it.
You mentioned people come and go. Mark, is that the hard part of the job, the hard part of your job when you have to move on from general managers or head coaches, which is the nature of the business? It's part of being in the NFL. Is that a tough bit?
No question. I mean, on a personal level, I'm dealing with coaches, GMs, and a lot of our staff nearly daily. For many, many years, you develop relationships with people, and the relationships continue in many cases afterwards, in most cases. And, you know, that's just part of the business. Both sides of the equation get it. And, you know, we try to be not knee-jerk as ownership. We try to give people a full length of rope to do their job, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's how we think the best ownerships and franchises work. They think long term, and that's how we think in our business and in sports. And hopefully that mindset continues. But you're right, it's very tough at times.
Let's talk about the UK then. If we're going to talk long term and broader visions, the Vikings are one of the six teams that can market themselves internationally in the UK. I want to get into London games, your experience of that, and generally the growth of international in a second. But why did the Vikings want to be a part of the UK story?
Well, we've had great experiences in the UK. And like you said, we've awarded the rights in both Canada and the UK. We really believe strongly in the growth of the game. As you know, we played a home game in 13 and in Wembley, and in 17. Twickenham, we played a road game against Cleveland. So it's not just because we're 2-0 in the UK that we say this. You know, we've seen outstanding support for our team and the league. And we've launched a UK Vikings social media in 2018. That's been incredibly well received. And again, we know the fans in the UK have a great track record, staying up late to watch the games, watching you, watching everything to do with American football. So this is a great ability for us to invest further, to grow the relationship, and to grow the awareness of American football overseas.
Do you think that would lead, and again, I'm not trying to break news for 2022 or 2023, but do you think that naturally leads to the Vikings returning to play more games in London?
Yes, I think no question. I think in the coming years, we will certainly be playing a home game. As you know, the new regulations in the NFL, all 32 teams will have committed to a home game over the next 8 years in both in the UK and Canada and Mexico, and I believe Germany as well. Mm. So a lot of significant investment into this concept of the international games, because we really do believe it's the most exciting sport out there, with all due respect to football as you know it.
Yep.
and we just want to spread the excitement of it and keep it growing. And again, there was an opportunity also with the 17th regular season game that was added last season. Every other year, each conference will have an extra home game, if you will, in the regular season. So that was kind of a launching point to put out this effort to be more out there with home games international.
So, Mark, I've been covering the NFL for a number of years before NFL Europe, when NFL Europe was first on the scene. And, you know, you're trying to get people to come and watch games in London and Germany, and there were no regular season games. So I've seen it go from no regular season games to what we have now, where you're talking about Mexico, London, Germany. There were no regular season games when you took over ownership of the Minnesota Vikings to where we are internationally now. I feel like I'm covering a historic period of the NFL. And I know you're kind of involved in all aspects of NFL business, but does it feel pretty special to see how the game's growing internationally? Does it feel almost historic?
I would agree with that. I think this effort now is going to be much more regular, much more sustained. It was kind of a one-off, three-off, four-off. Mm-hmm. Now there's a regular drumbeat of our game, our product being out there. I remember the early games, even when we played as 8 years ago in our home game, to today, the level of awareness of the rules of the teams. It's not just expats in London, for instance, wearing the jerseys. You have Brits that are really embracing the game, and it's fun. They see everything about it that's great. And the same way soccer is actually growing in the States, I think. As you know, we're invested in soccer here as well. And I think with all the technology, with all the ease of moving around, each year getting easier and easier and the world getting smaller, these opportunities, as you say, historic, can happen. And I think they are happening.
We'll be back with more from Mark Wilf after this short break on the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
This is Jack Crawford, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Neil Reynolds, for the last time this season, how are you feeling?
I'm good, Gary. Thank you. Very good. A bit lost. The NFL's done. It's always now where I ease into the off-season, because everything's so full-on, of course. The season's so full-on, and then it comes screeching to a halt for a few weeks. So, just coming to terms with that, really.
Well, you say that, and I saw you tweeted where you had the video of you were shuffling your books around on the, you know, on the bookshelf. You were trying to find things to do, and I just thought, Neil, what are you doing? NFL Game Pass. You have loads to do on NFL Game Pass. Should I run you through it?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say there is actually plenty to do in an NFL offseason. Free agency is going to be coming up soon, the NFL Combine, the draft. But yeah, I'm sure you've got a script. You tell me.
Well, it's not exactly a script. It was just the stuff that I was looking at myself. And then I spoke to our trusted friend Emma over at Game Pass. And we were talking about the fact that, yeah, the Combine is coming up. The draft is just around the corner. And if you're subscribing to NFL Game Pass, you're getting all the NFL Network access. You're getting all of that stuff as we really head into an important time in the offseason. And what better place to view it all down on NFL Game Pass, streaming right into your phone?
Yeah, and you, there is so much. The Combine is going to be looking at all the top draft prospects. Free agency in mid-March. NFL Network will be all over that. It's kind of like transfer deadline day in reverse as the teams come storming out the blocks to snap up all the free agents across the league. There's plenty to keep us going. The NFL never really sleeps. And we'll discover that, and people will discover that if they follow along on Game Pass through the off season. There is lots to do. It's a drama, and actually you can go back and watch a lot of old programming as well. So yeah, there's always an NFL fix to be had. So we'll be all right.
So if you want to get that NFL fix by using Game Pass, where it's free to sign up, if you just head over to nflgamepass.com, you can sign up and then you start getting access to all of that NFL content. And like Neil says, all the thrills and spills of the offseason. Neil, back to you and Mr. Wilf.
Hi, I'm Bruce Arians, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Tell me about the new additions to your team then. General manager Kwesi Udofa-Mensah. Interesting background. Lots of the football research stuff, the analytics we hear about. I've never met him. I'm keen to meet him and learn more about his approach. What does he bring to the table as a general manager?
Well, we're thrilled to have Kwesi as someone of his caliber really leading our football organization. He's a strong leadership presence. He's unique background. He's had a variety of strong football experiences. He's had experience on Wall Street, and he just stood out. He had an incredible vision for a long-term success of the organization, and he just has a full knowledge, information about not just analytics and how to look at players, but also how to collaborate, communicate among players, how coaches and personnel sides can interact and work seamlessly together. And it's already been proven. You know, as we searched for head coach, his process, his questioning was really thorough and pointed. And the collaboration he's already had with our new head coach, just as we're starting our draft board, we're setting up our front draft boards this week, and the communication's been outstanding already.
What about Kevin O'Connell then, the new head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, former NFL quarterback, comes from the Rams. What does he bring, and how excited are you to see that translate onto the field, I guess?
I mean, again, like Kwesi, a strong leader, innovative, great communicator. He played the game at all levels, a high football IQ, someone who has had a tremendous role, of course, in the Rams' success, winning the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago. What was it, last week? I lose track of time.
You're already on to 2022.
Exactly. And like I said, he's a great partner and collaborator with Kwesi. We felt that in the interview very strongly. And it's only just continued. I think you got a sense of that in the press conference and all that, but that's very important that communication happens.
So you talked about collaboration and communication there. One of my questions was going to be whether you look for traits outside of, so your head coach, obviously there's X's and O's element of it. And I wonder if there is something else that you look for. Again, going back to that kind of culture question, is that it? Collaboration, communication?
I know we keep throwing those words around, and they're used all the time. It's a real thing. We're seeing it, like I said, even just as the draft conversations are beginning now, the free agency conversations, analyzing the roster. It's a real thing. And when the GM and the coach collaborate and communicate well, it leads the entire organization. Scouts, assistant coaches, coordinators, they all have to be on the same page so that that's what's exciting about American football. It's everything. Every piece has to work seamlessly and perfectly. If one piece doesn't work correctly, it clogs up the wheels for the whole organization.
Mark, you are the first owner on the Neil Reynolds podcast, so I'm being nosy now. So you please pass whenever you need to pass on these questions. But I'd love to know a little bit about life as an NFL owner. And you kind of mentioned there the general manager, the head coach, the collaboration. When do you as an owner know when to step into the football conversations and then when to step out of them? How is that balance for you in terms of that?
Well, for my brother, myself, our family, we know enough to know that football is not our strongest suit as far as pure knowledge on X's and O's. We know the coaches and GMs have that, but we're involved. We're engaged. We have weekly conversations, sometimes daily conversations with all these folks. And we're trying to evaluate all the time. Everyone's constantly on evaluation. How are we doing? How are they communicating? What is the plan? So we know enough to know when good people who are experts are doing their work right or not. And we do our best. We're stewards of a great franchise. And we try to analyze that the best we can. And so I guess the short word is that we're involved, but we're not intrusive, I guess is the way we try to do it.
You know what you don't know.
Exactly.
What do you like on game day then? Because I guess in so many aspects of your business life, you know, to be a successful businessman, you control this, you move that, you do this. For 3.5 hours on a Sunday, are you helpless?
Totally helpless. In fact, we were talking before the podcast here, you know, people ask me all the time, what do you do in the off season? I'm like, well, that's when we work. I rest during the season. I mean, we can't do much during the season. It's kind of like, hold on, put your seatbelts on like the fans, and it's a roller coaster ride. But the reality is we're just like the fans. We watch the game. We're rooting for the team. Of course, it's nerve-wracking. We know how many people are depending on the success of the team. And it is a little different than being a fan in that sense. But we love coming to the games. We love interacting with the fans and the business community, especially at our home games. And we just let it rip and see what we got on the field and have fun and root for the Vikings.
So I have to ask your memories of the Minneapolis Miracle, and how did you react?
It's funny because I had the overcoat on, 1 foot halfway out the door. It was kind of like, we blew this lead, too bad, good season, but really disappointed. And we're all huddling around. Okay, we'll just watch those last 13 seconds. And sure enough, it happened. And after that, sheer bedlam, hysteria, excitement, really fantastic. You know, those memories, the process and the ride is, you try to savor it whenever you can. And those moments, they're special and unique, and they don't come often enough.
You just mentioned you're stewards of the franchise, and you mentioned the fans. How important is it as an owner to use your platform to deliver certain messages to help the community? Have you recognized that as soon as you kind of came on board?
Yeah, we recognize that our fans, like any community, we try to pull the community best we can. We recognize that, but our players, our staff, there's certain issues, social issues that they care about. We're not political in the sense that we're not running for any offices, but there are certain things that we want to make the community better. We do a lot of great work in the community, whether it's building playgrounds or habitat homes, building those. We try to do things that are helpful, that don't offend people, just things that are good things, and have the players and the coaches that are real role models and heroes kind of help set that stage. You know, Anthony Barr, just this past year, our Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, Eric Kendricks, in the past. We have some great people that give back in the community, and we always try to encourage that. And the social justice piece, we've contributed significantly. We work with our players to support causes that really try to move things forward.
When you're in league meetings, obviously there's a lot of there's a room filled with lots of very powerful businessmen and women. I go back to the days of Pete Rozelle and the building of the NFL. It was always about the collective. So how do you have to always balance that and have in the back of your, because some teams will have an interest in Project A, somebody in Project B. As an owner, do you always have to have that thing in the back of your head that it's about the whole group and the whole league? Does that kind of underpin everything?
Yes. I think that's clear with the NFL, and not all leagues necessarily adopt that, but we have the proof of results. And I think every owner in the end, while they might push here and there around the edges of it, the reality is that we're only as strong as a collective. I know the league likes to have every team beat 500. We want the fans to have an exciting product, super competitive. I mean, just this past season, I think we had a record number of games that were won or lost by under 7 points. So
your team especially.
A little tough on the cardiac here, but very exciting for the fans and everyone who loves football. So we get it. I think the ownership gets it, that it's a collective enterprise. And while we're bashing each other's heads in 3 hours a week, we're partners on and off the field in the end. And I think most owners really get that.
Yeah, we had Kirk Cousins join us on Sky Sports for our Super Bowl show, for the pregame show. And I wanted it. I know Kirk very well. We've toured, of course, many times in the UK. I wanted to give him a hug because 14 of your 17 games went down to the one score games, right down to the wire. But yeah, we talked on our Super Bowl show. This was the Super Bowl just played that gives hope to every team in the league at the end of, I mean, to me, it was the most amazing season. Did you feel, obviously, like you said, there's a certain amount of stress in there because every one of your games seemed to go down to the wire.
Yes,
but as a league, it was incredible.
I mean, there's never been, I think, you know, the ratings, the engagement, the excitement, never been higher. That's been proven. And you look at that divisional round, I think there's never been a closer weekend like that. The whole thing was super exciting. And yes, it does give, what's great about the NFL is every season, our official season launches in March with free agency beginning, and then off we go. We're busy planning on that. Everyone has the hope that, and we do believe in 2022, we can contend as well. And that's the excitement of the NFL. And I think this proved that you had 2-4 seeds in the Super Bowl. So, and games that were exciting beyond the imagination. And that's where we come out, that hopefully we get to be in that seat.
Because it can happen. That's the thing. It's not just PR speak, is it? Because sometimes I've heard players tell me, I remember interviewing Thomas Davis once for the Carolina Panthers, the linebacker, after they'd gone 7-9. And he said, we're going to be in the Super Bowl. And I thought it was just PR speak. They were in the Super Bowl the following year. It can happen. That's the beauty of the NFL. Everyone has a chance.
Everybody. And I think the draft is the ultimate equalizer. The world of soccer, if you'd like to say it, it's almost like the best teams get the best players. And only in the NFL do the worst teams get the best players. So it's kind of spun on its head, and that's what makes it exciting. And like you say, gives every team a chance.
Last one, Mark. As we look at the future of the NFL, obviously international continues to grow. The game goes from strength to strength on American soil. I guess legalized gambling is going to help grow the game. And there's so many ways the game is growing. What should remain at the heart of the NFL as the league goes through all of the growth in the coming years? Is there something that has to be fundamental to the league as it continues to grow?
Well, we have to focus on the product. We have to make sure it's as safe as possible. That's an important thing, health and safety. We have to make sure that we recognize and reflect society properly. We have to have the right balance of in the coaching and the management ranks and ownership ranks, that diversity and competence of the highest level is always encouraged. So all those things are important. We have to make sure we grow wisely. We do it in a way that the fans can feel good about being part of the league. So there's a lot to it. But again, as long as we focus on the product and the content and really engage with our fans and realize that it's our fans and the game that are ultimately what we have to push for, we'll be okay.
You mentioned diversity there. Let me just ask you that then. You have an African-American general manager now. Do you think with general managers, head coaches, the league's not quite there yet and it needs to do more?
Of course, we always need to do better. And I know the commissioner said it. I know it's going to be looked at heavily in the offseason again. How do we improve it? We can't rest on any previous thing necessarily. We just have to be best in class in every way. We're the premier sports league, and we have to act that way. And that includes making sure all our ranks reflect not just society, but reflect the very best.
So there you are. Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Minnesota Vikings owner Mark Wilf for the final time in season two. Gary Hayes. Two seasons in the books, Gary. We did it.
I know. It feels really good. I've gone from my rookie season into my sophomore year. Would you call it that?
That's correct. Yes. You didn't have a sophomore slump either. I thought you did all right. That's a thing. That's a genuine thing, a sophomore slump. But you were good. You kept up the high stakes, high intensity, high performance. It was all there. It was all good.
See, in last year, I was a rookie and I just sort of let you manage the mailbag. Whereas this year, in my sophomore year, I've gone big time and I'm like, this is the last mailbag. I'm hogging this for myself. I don't care what the listeners have to say. Exactly.
Well, what have you got for me then?
Well, I just thought I'd talk to you about the series. I just thought, you know, it's been an emotional 30 weeks of us, you know, doing this content, getting it produced and getting it out there. And, you know, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes, you know, in order to get this ready and get it out to listeners. And, I just thought I'd sit here and bask in the glory, really, and just ask you, have you enjoyed it? And what was your favourite part, other than working with me?
Yeah, and I just think, you know, I like telling stories. You know, I think sports is just great for stories, and the NFL is really good for stories. So I was just thinking back to, you know, we spoke to Trevor Lawrence, you know, and he's the biggest name to come to the NFL for the past 20-odd years, the Jacksonville quarterback. You know, we had the stories of Jim McMahon mooning at helicopters at the Super Bowl. You know, we got even a British fan who ended up working at the Hall of Fame in Steve Flack. I was just going through some of the stories. You know, Matthew Wright, the kicker who kicks the game-winning field goal for the Jags at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, used to be an aerospace engineer. D'Ernest Johnson was working as a tour boat captain on boats when he was out of football. Now he's starring with the Cleveland Browns. You know, Hayden Hurst attempted suicide and put his life back together to become an NFL star. Philip Lindsay, star running back in the NFL, living in his parents' basement. These are just some of the stories that you don't know unless you get quality time with people. And it was just great to dig into those kind of tales of inspiration, of frustration at times, desperation, and hopefully motivation for people who are listening. So add in a live show and I got to spend 25 minutes with Dan Marino, and it's been quite a season.
So there's a lot to unpack in those 30 episodes, isn't there? Wow, just you reading it off again. I had my own takes from it, and then you just sort of bringing some of them up. I'm just thinking, yeah, wow, this is, you know, pretty incredible stuff.
So there were so many kind of highlights with that. I think the low light for me was me getting a very underwhelming reception as I walked out to my own live show. It's called the Neil Reynolds Podcast. And then the audience begin breaking into a chant of Gary, Gary, Gary. That was the low. I didn't know if I was going to recover from that. But
Martin, yeah. Lydon, I salute you, sir. And we still need to go out for that drink.
There you go. But yeah, it has been really good. I've enjoyed the stories we've told. You know, we mixed in a bit of everything. I think we got big name current players. You know, we had Adam Thielen, we had Fitz again join us. Josh Allen was on the podcast. Tua Tagovailoa. So, you know, we got those kind of star names, but then we got the top media people from the US, which I think is good to get those stories. And some of the lesser lights, you know, D'Ernest Johnson is not probably the biggest name in the NFL, but what a story, you know, and Dante Stallworth's story of, you know, overcoming tremendous tragedy and adversity and kind of being a lesson for other NFL players to learn from. I felt like everyone really kind of opened up, and it's, you know, I just love telling those sorts of stories. And as long as they'll keep having us, we'll keep telling them. So, yeah, onto the off season, we'll start building up the library of interviews for next year, and we'll be back.
So, you speak to the media personalities, we get an idea of how they operate, but let's just get a little bit of insight for you this, well, spring into summer, the off season. How is it looking for you? Because, yeah, you're not doing the Sky stuff anymore. You're off people's screens. But while you might be out of sight of out and out of mind, there's a lot that you're doing away from the screen, isn't there?
Yeah, so I am, you know, as we get news of the teams that are coming to London, I edit the game programs for that. I'll be arranging training camp trips to go and see the teams. I write my own preview magazine. We will have draft coverage on Sky. So, you know, I'm deep into researching the players that are coming out for the draft. So, you know, I still full on, I'm able to work on NFL all year round. I'm just not working 7 days a week now. You know, you might get three and a half out of me, maybe. But yeah, just time to take the foot off the gas, as they say in America. But I am able to do stuff year round, planning things. You know, we're always talking about ways we can get new stories told on this podcast. And because they're timeless, you know, we'll knock out a lot of those in the off season as well. So, yeah, always something to do, Gary. Always, I'm never going to be, you know, always a reason not to do the DIY around the house. Don't tell Mrs. R that.
Well, I've got a request for the listeners as well, actually. Normally you say this in our intros, but if people have enjoyed what we've been doing this year, it'd be great if they could go onto their podcast listening app of choice and just give us a rating, preferably 5 stars. And if there is room to leave us a review, please do, because that does really help with people as they discover the podcast. And now, Neil, a question. How many podcasts have we done in total for the Neil Reynolds Podcast? Do you know?
I don't. Let's say 56.
64. So if you are just discovering the podcast.
64.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Why did I think of that? Bad producing.
Very good.
But if anyone is just discovering the podcast, you've got a nice bank of shows to go back to and listen.
Yes.
And it just helps us that when people say nice things, that it helps us spread the word a little bit and you know, gets us noticed more. So
yeah, I'll just say that as well, just in finishing. Don't be afraid to go back if you've missed some, because they are timeless. They're stories of lives spent in football. They're not about the news of the day, really. So, and you'll find everything there. You'll find star players, lesser known players, former players, Hall of Famers, Super Bowl winners, head coaches, general managers, and now an owner as well. So we've got a bit of everything, really. And yeah, I'm actually really proud of what we've done. So yeah, I'm glad we've been able to do it, and we'll be back again Like I say, as long as they keep having us, we'll keep doing it.
I'm looking forward to season three.
Absolutely. So on that note, because I know Gary will make Gary cry otherwise. So I want to say
the tissue out. I'm dabbing my eyes already.
So I'm duty bound to thank you, Gary. I mean, I don't know. You got your thanks at the live show. I don't think you need much more. But thank you for all your work, because I just do the lining up of the interviews and then speak for 25 minutes. And that creates hours of work for you afterwards, which I have no part of. So my thanks to Gary Hayes, to Matt Alabaster, who puts in a lot of work as well with you, Gary. But most of all, I want to thank all the people, the 30 guests, 30 plus guests, because some of them were split episodes, all the guests that were giving up their time and telling their stories. But most of all, thank you to you, the listener, and the viewers and everything who's watched it on Game Pass. Thank you. And in the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, shall I do it? No.
Go on, please.
No,
do.
No.
If you won't, I will.
You do it then.
I'll be back. Oh, sorry.
There you go.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. We will be back. So thank you. I couldn't bring myself to do it, but I'm glad you've enjoyed the series. We'll see you for season three in the summer. Until then, it's bye for now.
Hasta la vista, baby.
You're fired. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork, including the graphics and videos across our social media channels. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast, help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and a review wherever you're listening. This has been another Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.